Hi, it's lovely to be back here. I was back. I was here in 2007, and we had a report on this instrument back then. And we've moved a little bit forward since that time. And I just wanted to present today a small part of our current investigation into how we're measuring the accuracy and precision of the SciMed instrument, an instrument that measures. The maturity of fiber samples and the dispersion of maturity values in that specimen. Just a brief outline of the talk today, a brief recap on the SciMed instrument, just for some of you in the audience who haven't seen it perhaps before, and some examples of how we apply it, apply the test data. Then a quick I'll step through the objectives of this study being presented today, which are sort of pertinent to our greater work in calibrating the system. And then a final conclusion and wrap up. So the premise of the SciMed is that what we see is the premise. When we considered using the polarized light microscopy technique for measuring maturity, we wanted to be sure that the interference colors transmitted by the fibers were not dependent upon the absolute wall thickness or cross-sectional wall thickness or the perimeter of the fiber. Essentially, that the path length of light was not dependent upon on those variables, as it is for sort of geological samples and less complex crystalline samples, materials. So initially, back in about 4 or 5 years ago, we had did a study where we selected fibers from three different fiber species, or cotton species. So these are fibers with very different fiber properties, and we examined the colours transmitted by these fibers using a spectrophotometer. We had a little optic fiber pointing down the barrel of the microscope to examine various regions of interest. So, for example, I'm going to point here.
So we were able to focus a spot near and measure the hue, particular hue, or at that particular point. So, in selecting fibres from the three species, we examined the colours transmitted by these fibres, and what we found was that the hue. Was that the yellow hue in particular did not vary with the fibre wall thickness and or the perimeter, and that it was applicable to a band of fibre maturity ratios. You know, whether you measured it as theta or maturity ratio was just a small point of differentiation. So in this graph, what we're showing is those three species of cottons, and each point there is an individual fibre. And what we had done 4 or 5 years ago in the study was that we attributed the maturity of those fibres subjectively according to the original standard test method, which was a subjective assessment of whether the fibre was yellow or whether it had the interference colours of immature fibres. So in the standard, we note that the standard suggests that fibres with a yellow hue are mature, fibres with an orange or blue hue, and it's a translucent colour, are immature. And so the operator, using that basis, selected fibres according to that standard. And what we found was that you can see the solid points there. There are a range of cell wall thicknesses according to that band of maturity, suggesting that. That the ranges of maturity for those fibres deemed immature, what I want to say is that you can see that the range of, for mature samples, or for mature fibre samples, there is quite a wide range of cell wall thicknesses and or perimeters associated with that particular maturity band and also for the immature band. The graph here also illustrates the difficulty in attributing fibres that the operator had difficulty in attributing to a particular maturity category, and these are the cross points on this graph, which show fibres that were neither mature nor immature in appearance according to that standard method. So the basis for the SIMAP, therefore, is that you can attribute a colour threshold, a specific colour threshold to the yellow in particular, and have that measure fiber maturity directly. After establishing the basis for the polarized light method according to that evidence, we then built various prototypes in the labs at CSIRO and tested the data or the application of that data in applied situations. So in this graph, we represents a study in which we blended mature and immature fibres of the same cultivar to contrive fibre blends with incremental amounts of mature and immature fibre. And then we tested these blends using the SIMAT, which was able to measure the percent of mature fibres or immature fibres, whichever way you like, to within about 5% accuracy. So that's a good thing. You know, it's able to see, SIMAT's able to see small increments in that regard. We've also looked at the application of SIMAT data in terms of the mill situation, which we regard as particularly important. And in this study, we had 8 different cottons that were processed in the yarn and dye fabric. And within these 8 cottons, there were 2 subsets. Two subsets with the same micronair. One group of 4 had micronair values of 4.4, and another group had micronair values of 4.8. The length and strength values in this set of 8 here, this is just the correlation matrix, varied across the 8 cottons. So essentially the matrix shows what you might expect from the HVI results there, the length, strength and micronair. So they were very good at predicting the yarn evenness and imperfections and tenacity to some extent, although micronair wasn't as strong in this particular set, only because there were 2 values perhaps in predicting the yarn tenacity, you can see there. And what we did note, though, was that the maturity and the maturity ratio dispersion results were not important for predicting yarn quality parameters. And we note here that whilst many textile processing stages in the transformation of fibre through to fabric are sensitive to fibre properties that are contiguous with fibre maturity, the property of fibre maturity per se is not often the dominant factor in predicting yarn quality. However, we do note strong correlations we see there with the colorimetry results associated with the fabric on your right hand side there, and we note strong correlations and significant correlations associated with particularly that SMSKNR, which is the SIRIMET skewness, or the skewness of that maturity ratio distribution. And we note that that's very strong in predicting the lightness of the fabric or even net imperfections in the fabric. So after some of those studies where we're looking at the application of the data, we were still left with some problems in reconciling developing the machine a little bit further, and that was, aside from converting the colour data into maturity numbers, the calibration of SIRIMET relies on reconciling a number of optical responses associated with the working elements of the instrument. So the instrument is essentially a light microscope in which the specimen appears between cross polars, and between those cross polars is also a first order wave plate retardation plate. And the quality of those filters will affect any inter-instrument variation between the systems. So this slide just lists the steps we take to reconcile some of those responses, but in particular the camera CCD response, which needs to be normalised according to the light source, and the various optical elements between the source and the specimen. And that leaves us, having been reasonably successful in doing that and bringing the instruments together, we're still wrestling with this idea of how do we convert those digital colour spaces to maturity ratio results for the end user. And so we're still wrestling with that idea of what that conversion equation looks like, and what reference samples do you use to calibrate it. In that respect, we have been fortunate enough to receive the samples of the International Textile Centre cottons from Texas Tech. We've got a small lot of them, and we've used those here to examine the accuracy and potential precision of the SciMat calibrated with those cottons. So previously, when we've done those applied tests, when we looked at applying SciMat data, we had used a two-term regression that was based on FMT maturity ratio results as the dependent variable. And the two-term, we were using a yellow hue and a green hue, and that essentially predicted, gave you a prediction of around 80% with a standard error of plus or minus 0.05 maturity ratio results, maturity ratio units. Just a few points about the specimen size and perhaps some of the experimental area that might pop up when we're looking at this sort of thing. The SciMat specimen is 2 to 3 milligrams spread over a slide, that slide that you saw before in the calibration slide. That doesn't seem like a large amount of fibre, but it's not too bad. It's certainly, by comparison to the cross-sectional method, which was the method used to obtain the values for the ITC specimens, there's certainly a lot more fibres. But there are not as many, of course, as the FMT. In the small set that we're examining here, this is just the range of fibre maturity or maturity ratio values, and these are just theta values converted to maturity ratio using Pearson Lord's constant of 0.577. So that covers about the commercial range, I think, of maturity ratio results. So there could be some more mature fibres out there, but by and large, that would represent the majority of them. These were sort of selected from the set provided by Eric Hockey. Each of those samples was tested four times on the SciMat, so the mean there is with four replicates. And then we submitted those to a competitive stepwise regression with the percent colour area that was measured by SciMat. So the SciMat, I'll just step back a bit, the SciMat partitions the colour image into, this is all explained in the paper, but I haven't explained it here, but essentially, once you find the edges of those fibre snippets, then the mask of that image is then segmented into the various colour thresholds. So the colour thresholds are in the digital colour space, so they just vary between 0 and 255, so you can actually be quite specific about the threshold that you want to commit to a particular colour. And essentially, we partition blue, green, yellow and red out of that fibre, and we measure the percent area of those colours, and that percent area of the colour is what we use as our maturity measurement. So the competitive, they're the conditions of the regression. And then we also looked at precision, and I call it precision, but it's really repeatability, where we looked at the repeat measurements and repeat measurements over time for a couple of samples here. This is just a quick correlation matrix between the various variables that are in this regression for this set of 15 ITC cottons. And we note that the set itself is quite good because there's got a good correlation between perimeter and cross-sectional area, which is a sort of a condition of what you need in a maturity calibration. And we also note these bright spots here. These are the more significant relationships around with regards to maturity. We're not sure about that correlation between the red and yellow, only to say that the red area is inconsequential, largely because of the, it includes a lot of the magenta that appears between the fibre, that appears between fibres and are inordinately sort of captured in the colour partitioning, and so we discount that relationship. We also note that we can get rid of that red relationship by using a daylight filter across the light source, which will absorb most of the red out and just leave us with the the important yellow and green and blue. So this is these are just the stats associated with that regression, and we note that it's reasonable with the two terms. So the yellow has quite a good regression with the maturity result, and the green doesn't. But the green as a second variable works very well in this formula. Although in saying that, it has a large effect here, as you can see from that that constant there, or that that coefficient there, and that's something that we have to look at with regards to particular effects. You know, I mean, there might be a sample with a green bias, and that bias will be amplified by that coefficient there. So we have to, I think, perhaps bringing the daylight filter back into this system would help that a bit and reduce the weight of that coefficient. The other interesting statistic here is that mellow CP statistic, which really that should be equal to the number of variables plus one, and so we get a number three there, which suggests that the relationship here is really quite good, despite the low R squared relative to other studies, I guess. And that R squared that we're looking at here, though, of 88%, in my thinking, I think that's satisfactory for a maturity measurement in terms of prediction or measurement. It might not be to everybody's satisfaction, but given the size of the specimen and the experimental error perhaps associated with the reference samples, I think that's a pretty good number. And here we are just looking at that set again, that set of 15 against just the percent yellow colour area, which is the raw data of the thyromat. And you see that R squared of 0.59. And we probably need to look at some outliers there. They're not quite outliers. If we're looking at sort of, perhaps they are, I'm not sure, but we need to also assess the origin of some of these samples within that set. But we note that when we exclude them, there's a much better R squared again. But it'll be interesting to see what this relationship looks like with the full 104 samples. Just looking at some repeatability results, the number down there in the bottom left is just the sample number of the ITC cotton used in this test. And here we're testing, we're doing repeat measurements. So these are successive measurements of the thyromat over about 3.5 hours. So this is actually in a slow mode. So the slow mode is about 6 minutes. So we're measuring the full resolution of the image there, and in saying that, the fast mode is around 2.5 minutes, which is far more acceptable. But we note that there, that whilst there might be, this is a mature sample, as you can see from the predicted maturity ratio results axis there. There's no significant difference there. There's a slight trend there, but sort of worryingly, there is a significant trend, not a significant difference between T1, if you take T1 as the far left point, and T40, there are 40 measurements there, as the far right point. There's not a significant difference there within the standard error of the system, but there is a significant trend there. And we associate that with, this is a halogen light source at this time, and there is a little bit more variation in the colour space with a halogen light source, even when it's plugged into the wall, there is some variation in the voltage supply, and we see that when there's some change in the colour space as well. So we attribute that to the, and in fact we see a sort of cyclical results. You know, this result starts high in the morning and dies, and then increases again in the afternoon. So this is just one segment. So we probably need to show it over a whole day, really, but only to say that the difference between, you know, that the top left result of 0.712 and 0.698 is not significant. So just some conclusions to wrap up. We note that the yellow and green hues in combination give the most information about maturity of a specimen. And the small set that I've shown here with a wide range of maturity shows this. Light source and filters can have a large effect on the relationship between the colour and the maturity, reference maturity value. So we need to have a stable light conditions that give the widest range of really percent yellow colour area in the calibration set. And that's almost an empirical setup. You sort of have to adjust the intensity of the light source for a given slide, and just look at the, or for a given set of slides, and we have a calibration set of slides, so their slides sit in a permanent mounting medium, and what we can do is we can use those slides over and over again to say, well, for this particular system, this needs to be our percent colour yellow range, and we can augment the Cyromet instrument according to that. And having set up that light source, then we can then treat the light source, normalise the light source, and bring the instrument back into being with the instrument that it's that's standing next to it. The ITC reference values appear to give a similar standard estimate of error estimate as the Shirley FMT reference values, although this perhaps needs a little bit of further examination with the entire set, really, and with some knowledge of the origins of those fibres. We have seen that on occasions in our applied research that Barbadense cotton seem to fall out of the equation line sometimes, and we're not really sure why that might happen. But nevertheless, that sort of concludes my talk for the moment. I'd be happy to take any questions. Oh. I should also thank our very kind sponsors, the Cotton Research and Development Corporation of Australia, and there is our Cotton Catchment Communities, which is a cooperative research centre that also supports our research. Thank you. Yep, that's right. Yes, it can be. So what we note from that, I'll just go back to our slide here. This one here. Sorry. So this is the field of view that the Cyromet analyzes. And what we note is that the angle of orientation means a lot to attributing immaturity, but less so to attributing maturity. So that these fibres, you will know they're angled in all sorts of orientations. The poles are crossed here, yeah, and they're all basically yellow. But what we see in an immature sample is that you will actually get, if they're randomly distributed there, you will actually see a blue set and an orange set against each other. So we disregard those colours. We measure the area of them, but the area is not included, or the colour area is not included in the actual calibration. So the total area is still reflects on the percent yellow. Yeah.